Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
She's 112 years old.
And then she's like, my father was murdered for a diamond! Oh my god! She's the through line!
Welcome to Pitch Please. I'm Alex, and I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
Ideas machine, Tom.
Hello.
And... recurring character, Matt Castle.
Hello. I'm not a character. I'm a real human.
A human. You're a bit of a character, though, I would say.
Don't say that. I always think that's like code word for a bit of a CEO.
You're a fucking character, aren't you?
So if you've not listened to us before, welcome. The way this works is we're going to pitch an idea for a game, and then we're going to try and make it work. We're going to talk about ideas. We're going to talk about storyline, mechanics. We're going to talk about other games that we like and see how we can jam them in some way.
It's a cram-packed game design podcast. That's what this is.
Exactly.
We never talk about design.
No, we will get there one day. But then at some point, we'll reach a vague consensus, or we'll all hate it and not want to play it.
That's great. Wow. Wow.
Matt, you've got an idea for us this week, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
What is it?
Shall I hit you with it?
Hit us.
Hit me.
Right.
Hit me.
So, it's a game that encompasses all history, but told through a single building.
What? Okay.
Okay. So, the pitch here is imagine a space that is always the same, a building. And as you move through history, different things in the building happens and different genre of games happen in different time periods. But the pitch is the building itself doesn't change. So it's about like recycling the same space and trying to find lots of twists on the same space for different genres. It's kind of the idea.
Hang on. So it starts as like, what, a cave?
No, it probably starts... I've already oversold it saying all history.
Okay, let me say it
starts 100 years ago when it's a field.
Oh, 100 years ago. Okay, so
the Big
just
Bang, and the building was formed.
A tiny fraction of all human history. Mm. 100 years.
A key,
modern history.
All right, yes. Yeah. Okay. It starts with a field, and it works into the future. So like probably end in a kind of post-apocalyptic period.
But
the common thread is that all the stories have to take place in this building in some way or capacity.
So when you say transcends, I think you said transcends genre.
No, I didn't.
Maybe. But do you mean...
It's all genre.
Do you mean like how there's certain games that when you see them from a 2D perspective, they play like that, but when you can do it like a camera switch and you're into 3D and then it behaves differently? Is that what you mean, but from genre to genre? Like Fez, but I'm like when you have a 2D platformer for side on and then when you tilt, now it's a sort of like a isometric dungeon where those become walls rather than platforms and you can then see new spikes.
The spaces, I mean, it could be. I'll outline... In my head currently, it's a pretty traditional, like, you know, imagine a building, you know, the changes buildings go through over time, like people come in and redo them and certain things stay the same, certain things don't. I mean, you've got this kind of like narrative history of the building, like you'd recognize stuff from the past. So, for example, like in one of the time periods, you'd be a security guard working in the building at night. and it's kind of a hot, it would have like a horror game vibe, but then,
right. And then it turns into a first person shooter.
It could be like, it's basically like Terminator times. It's, you know, that year.
Yeah.
And it's all like rubble, but it's still the same building. You know, it would still have to adhere to the history of the building. It's not an entirely new space. And you'd be like, oh, I sort of remember this when I was a security guard.
I remember when my kids scratched in their name into the walls, and if you peel off the wallpaper, there it is. That little shit.
There'd be little emotional beats like that. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, emotional beats, right. Okay, that's just, fuck that kid.
Or lols.
If I'm understanding right.
Or lols.
I would say emotions or lols, this game has it all. Like, truly, all life is in this game.
Is that your, like, journalist headline to sell the copy of that magazine? Emotions or lols, this game has it all. And that's the little byline.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That would be, I would hope someone would write that about this game on a magazine cover.
James, what are you making of this so far?
So if I'm understanding right, each time period is a specific type of game associated with that time period. So like, does the building get constructed like out of a Tetris game or something? And then
I wouldn't think so. I mean, it could be, but I'm not thinking like so literal, like, because I know that 100 years ago, they didn't build buildings like it was Tetris.
The Russians did.
Like, I'm thinking more like that game is literally like a dude like digging in a field.
Right. Okay.
And he's like, wow, this is going to be good one day. Imagine what's going to happen in this field.
Terminator uprising.
So the first couple of hours of gameplay is you with a shovel.
No, that could be that. They could all be different lengths. It's very cinematic.
Okay. That's multiple days of digging.
Okay,
and then that could be like just a 5-minute thing. You're like, oh, okay, like I get it. I dig in. What happens next?
I dig it.
I'm digging, and the next thing you know, the house has been built, and it's a house. So like, it could be a house. So there's like house stuff in it.
Oh right, okay. I mean, I call that furniture, but yeah,
no house activities.
Oh,
so like early on when it's a big house. Because it's a big house,
it's huge.
I think.
Yeah.
There could be like a murder mystery. And that's what happens in that time period.
Right.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
And so you play it. It's a little self-contained, like 2-hour murder mystery. And then you're like, what's going to happen next? And it's like, it's the 70s. What happens in the 70s?
Scarface.
Maybe it's the Scarface building.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. I mean.
So you have a first person shootout. I see.
Okay.
Maybe it's... I mean, the challenge is, I mean, there's obviously lots of challenges. I'm getting the sense this hasn't immediately gripped you.
I mean, hang on. We'll get there.
We should probably hear from the devs as to what they're thinking so far. I feel like, Chris, you've been wanting to say something.
I feel like if we know the time span of the game roughly, I feel like we should divide up the years into what genres we think they should be.
Okay.
And I thought at first you start with like a theme hospital style. Like, you're plopping down all the items. I feel like that's the beginning. It's you creating the thing. But then you went to digging. So maybe it's, you know, like an FPD, a first-person digger.
I like that. What happens if the building you build, and like structurally, that's the structure the rest of the game has to like fit
into?
Exactly.
But there should be caps. You should have resource limits for the thing. So the way you design a building is different every run. Now, no, not a run.
Almost a roguelike.
So you could design the building to just be one room and a murder mystery has to take place.
It could be one room. And then like in the later periods, you have some very clever kind of like procedural audio system where characters can comment on the dimensions of the building. and every single time period, everyone in that room is like,
who fucking built
this? Why is this room so fucking big? This is so weird.
All right, let's set the timeline. So you said 100 years. So what is this? 1900s then? This house is being built.
In
a field in London, 1900s. What game is this? Is this a FPD?
It could be. I think some of the segments can be just sort of like AAA cinematic, like splendor.
I'm thinking now, the way you're describing it with the cinematic stuff, it's reminding me a little bit of What Remains of Edith Finch.
I thought that was just a walking sim.
So it's kind of a walking sim. It starts off that way, but basically the idea is that you play this character who relives the experiences of her family tree through various items. Like, she'll go up to a room and she'll see, like, a little letter, which will open the letter, read it, and then suddenly you're in the letter and you're not quite genre bending, but you're in a new style of gameplay where you're playing an animal. You've embodied an owl and you're flying around the fields and you've got to catch a rabbit and things like that. And then you'll come back out of that and then you'll go into the next one.
But you're doing this with pieces of furniture around the house.
Different people sitting on you.
I wouldn't say you're walking around the building. Like, the jumps are quite substantial. You know, you're like reskinning the building to fix it for the time. Like, if you look out the windows, it would be like clearly a different period. Like, there'd be, I think it would be fun from like musical cues and stuff. You know, I see this as a really expensive, like, just throwing just bit like millions and millions at this one building.
This building is incredible. The rest of it, you don't even need to see it. You don't even need to put any money into that because that's just a texture on the outside of a window. Whatever.
Yeah, but sometimes you might walk into the building. You might be able to go out of the building.
Oh, okay. This is getting ridiculous now.
While I do agree it's worth going through the genres, I will say a problem I have identified with this idea, and I have thought about it a little bit.
Okay, good.
Is that, listen, you know, no expense spared for this podcast, is that it's quite hard to find a building which is like radically changed every 10 years.
So that's the thing. Are you treating this as a building that people just live in, or maybe it was a potato factory at one point?
It needs to be a space that makes sense, that it could have been an offices, it could have been a home.
I mean, Chris gave a very quizzical look there. The last place I lived in was a potato factory.
Wow. I'm in one right now.
Did it have like, does it still have the detritus of the factory in it?
No, Tom left.
Chris is so happy with himself for that.
I was really happy with that.
James, you look like you're either really confused or inspired.
Or constipated.
I think more along the confused route. I'm just trying to think what is game.
Get on board.
That's not how this works.
I'm trying to give it some, I'm trying to put it in a box so that we can think about what this actually is.
And this is the problem of approaching like this, because really this game is all boxes.
I want some constraints here. I need to put something on
it's
this.
It's a building.
It's a building, yeah. But the building changes. The building changes over time. Maybe they build an extension. Maybe it's change of use, right?
All right, okay. 1900s, it's a farmhouse in the fields of London.
And now what am I doing? What am I doing?
Farming sim?
It's a farming sim.
It's a farming
sim. It starts
game,
off like that, right? You're just a farmer.
Yeah.
You're just a farmer.
For
then...
6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Then 10 years later, the farmer has now made a lot of money and he's very rich and there is a murder in the house, and that's where it's a murder mystery. It's a 1920s Agatha Christie murder mystery.
Someone's been pitchforked and you're like, who done it?
Exactly.
Let's find out.
And the house is, you can only make the murder mystery harder for yourself by making the house too big in the 1900s in stage one.
Well, that's one of the benefits of building a giant one-room house, in that everyone can see who the murderer is because he has to do it in the same room as them. And everyone's like, it was him. I literally saw him. There's no walls in this place.
Yeah. But you don't know that in the first 6 hours of the game.
So you build something with loads of walls and you're like,
something
oh,
I'm really
man.
Proud of. So
Next
many walls.
Time, I do it without the walls.
Yeah. But then when you get to the 1920s, after the murder mystery has been solved, you're going to want a building with lots of walls, because the 1920s genre is a stealth game. It's a stealth game. And that's when you're thinking, oh, I wish I built some barricades around here.
What are you stealthing? What's
the 1900s?
There might be, theoretically, in those 10 years, someone could have moved in with a diamond.
Right.
How? Hang on. Chris is now Chris. Next door. I was gonna say Nazis. I realize it's too early for Nazis. We got a couple. Yeah. We got another decade before that.
That's could be 40s. We could have a 40s. You know,
maybe it could jump further than just 10 years.
Okay. Yeah. 1920s mystery, mm-hmm. And then 1940s.
It's during the Blitz.
It's during the Blitz.
Okay, that's good.
That's exciting.
Maybe that's where we refresh the building. So that's how you rebuild it, right? So yeah. There are major... What happened in the 1920s?
Oh, nice.
Oh, do you guys remember that horrible 1920s earthquake that happened in around that field area?
No, it destroyed the entire...
Well, I know, but we want to then maybe rebuild it every time, right?
Yeah, and you do lose the angle of like... The building you built
Seed of the game.
Unless you decide to build it, they're like, it got destroyed by a bomb, but we love that big room so much.
we're going to rebuild it. Giant studio apartment.
Or like, I think the building has to get bigger. Like, it has to become an offices in my head.
During the 60s.
But maybe it's like, you know, we rebuilt it, but it's got elements of the original building still inside. Or like, you know, when they... excavate buildings and they do them up, and then they sometimes have like exhibition cases where it's like, we found this pipe when we were digging and then everyone comes and looks at the pipe.
Maybe they find the shrapnel from the 40s with the bombs as they fell.
No, Tom, it's an unexploded bomb in the case, and it turns into keep talking and nobody explodes because all of a sudden they find out it's actually armed. I am just
going to... Because that's a game.
...interject my own idea. It's, I don't fully understand what's going on.
That's your idea.
Let's get to the end of the story. I think we need to finish off the story first.
Oh, yeah, we've got to do the timeline.
And then we can... Because once we fall in love with the story, which I'll be honest, I'm doing, we'll be able to make a game around that.
It's more of a saga.
Where are we so far? Well, all we have is the field, then a house, and then the Blitz.
Farm sim... Right? Murder mystery in the 20s.
Okay.
Stealth game with the Blitz. It was then
60s?
Don't talk, nobody explodes or whatever. I've forgotten the name of that game all of a sudden. In the 60s, when they find the unexploded bomb. In the 80s, it then becomes, what should this game become? And what is the building in the 80s?
Put an arcade machine there and put a game in the arcade machine.
Oh, you see, that's...
Job done.
I think there can be time segments where... It's something you're in the office, takes you out. Like either, like you're playing a game and then that, you know, someone happens to be, so you can have like the period where people are like working in the office every day and someone's got like a Game Boy or something. And that period sort of focuses on that. Or they're watching something on TV and like they're watching something key, vital happen on TV. And that can... you know, then you play that segment, like what they're watching, but it still adheres to the rules in that it's kind of the building.
80 years on from the construction of this building, is the structural integrity of this building still sound? Or is that dependent on how well you built it?
I wouldn't say there's, like, I wouldn't want to kind of undercut the powerful emotions of this story with the constant threat that the building's going to crash due to some sort of physics shenanigans. I want this to be like, I think you either have to be like emotionally powerful storytelling or Jenga. I don't think you can be both.
Right, okay. I mean, I've had some really emotional games of Jenga.
I've got to say, I'm starting to get on board with the cinematic... Yes. Like story, like that. There's something about it, like having an emotional resonance of the history of a building from the first bricks that were put down, and then seeing the lives of all the different kinds of people that inhabit it throughout the whole century.
That actually is
quite exciting to me.
Yeah,
but I'm seeing it very much as a like it's not so genre bending. It's not like you're like okay, it's theme hospital or whatever. You're plopping bricks down. Like the whole thing in my head would be a first person. Sometimes it's more like Stanley Parable, or sometimes it's a walking sim, sometimes it's more of a stealth thing, perhaps. But essentially, you are just walking around this house, this building, as it changes throughout the century.
It's very like my previous ideas, very big, cinematic, expensive storytelling. Quite low on like costly. Mechanical sophistication, big on concept.
Mm. It's a Hideo Kojima game.
I do see it as part of the kind
it's
of...
It's a Strand type game.
It exists in the same realm as the other games.
I'm seeing this as an Annapurna kind of game. This is like this for me is like a
what is that Annapurna game where it like is 1 minute in the lives of these people and it's like a top down game. I don't know.
Oh, it's the room, Daisy Ridley one room or something. And, James McAvoy.
Yeah. For some reason that's what I was thinking of when you said this idea to begin with, even though it's not at all similar. I just immediately thought Annapurna. I don't know why.
That one doesn't start with a farm sim.
Something is getting through then.
Yeah.
So, okay, like gameplay-wise, what, like devs, Chris, James, like, do you have any feelings on this yet? How do you want to see this? What, Chris?
I'm confused now. Obviously, not every game needs to have one. I'm confused as to what the goal is, and how do you win? Does it end? How does it end?
I think you win the I think the segments are sort of self-contained stories, and they're enough to kind of get into the mechanics of it. In a way, you could stand back from this and say it's like a big a narratively complex mini game collection.
Yeah, it's like WarioWare, but with a lot of heart. I think the goal of the game is to, when the credits are rolling, you're sat there and you're like, you just sit back, you put the controller down, you just say, wow.
And you burst into tears.
Truly, all life was there.
It's had everything. It's had it all.
Yeah, right. The only thing I had in my head from the start was that this is almost a Telltale game where the main star is the building, and the building will remember your choices as you go through time. The building will remember this is the only thing I can think right now.
That's the name of the game.
That's a great name.
You've got to remember this, comma. Yeah. Can do nothing about it.
Is an inanimate object.
It or not.
You're basically trying to give the building longevity, keep it alive, and stop it being demolished by like some developers that want to come and
build a giant building.
And I've got that film.
Gentrification.
Do you remember Batteries Not Included?
Yeah.
Where they've got that old building, it's falling down, and these little aliens come and fix it up, and then they build the skyscraper over the top of it. And it's like, well, we won't knock it down. It's like a piece of history. So it's like you're trying to keep the building alive. Maybe you still have this whole mini game thing, but the choices made in those mini games will either give the building longevity or it will fall down.
This seems to happen a lot with the Matt Castle classics, but I think Gun Hands, I remember that one, was a court case, and that was the level select screen, basically. And you're arguing your case and you go back to the levels. What if this is a modern day game where you're arguing the historical relevance of this house, and that's the level select screen? You go back and it's like, hey, what about what happened in the 1920s when old man Richards was killed with a brick?
And because then you go back, a diamond.
Because he had the diamond. And you go back and you explore the story of old man Richards and his brick and diamond. And then
I love it, Tom.
And then what about when the people in the 80s protested to stop it from being demolished, to turn it into a block of flats? That was a cool moment.
But how does it, like,
what about the Blitz?
One thing I really did have in mind was at some point it would be a futuristic cover shooter for a bit.
Oh yeah, well that's
absolutely. You remember the Space Wars?
Can we use that house for cover?
Maybe that's the moment in the court case where you're like, oh, but imagine where this house could be in the future.
Wait, why is it a court case now?
I don't know.
Listed buildings. I assume there has to be some kind of discussion over how they get listed or whether they do or don't. And there has to be someone who, I guess, argues the case for it. Is that what this is?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I am now picturing this nightmare scenario where Phil Spencer from Xbox is on the stage at E3 trying to explain to teenagers about how buildings get listed and what that means. I mean, it does feel like quite a big leap for a large chunk of the audience.
World
like,
premiere.
If you like FIFA and GTA, and then it's like, right, guys, you're trying to get this house listed.
but it's a cinematic experience. So you can do that.
It's a telltale.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally seeing this as a kind of like, what's it called? Before Your Eyes, Edith Finch kind of cinematic adventure where you're dipping in and out of stories that all revolve around the same thing, in this case, a house. Actually, also in Edith Finch, a house. And you're playing different characters, doing slightly different things each time. I don't know if that, Matt, is your... You were talking initially about genres.
I think that's, yeah, that's like the rough shape of it. I actually really like the house on trial. not necessarily in a courtroom, because I don't want people just to say I'm reheating gun hands.
The house is on the stand.
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's kind of... Or actually, it could tie into the extended universe in that the court has obviously got all the bullet holes from that court case.
Yeah.
And the judge is like, right, everyone, last week we had the gun hand man in. This week, I bet it's going to be much easier. Can you bring in the suspect? And it's a house. And he's like, oh, come on.
In the castle courtroom universe, this is where this game is set.
The building is where I Love You, God. The Kidnapper was set. So the ending is on the roof.
Oh, my God. That's one of the stories.
Yeah, that takes place.
I'm big up for the house having some connection to the previous two games. So that when you get to it, you're like, oh yeah, this is the stuff. This all happened. Or they're watching it on the news, like they're watching Gunhand, and you play a bit of Gunhand for a bit, and you're like, oh God, this is so good. So we got loved Gunhand.
Phoenix Wright
again. I'm happy.
Phoenix Wright, house attorney. Is this what this is?
Yeah, we do.
Oh my God.
But it's called, what was it? Harris Always Wins?
The Building Will Remember This.
Building Will Remember This. I couldn't remember the name of it. I mean, yeah, I can see some really emotional moments, tearjerk moments of, yeah, some family in the 1920s. They draw up some height charts on the walls. Then they get uncovered in the 80s. And it's like, oh, what happened to those guys?
They never got bigger.
They never got bigger.
Wait, what's happened?
They never got a chance to.
What happened in the trial?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe all through the trial, there's like a very old lady in the room and everyone's ignoring her. And then she's like, my father was murdered for a diamond. And you're like, oh my God. She's the through line.
She's 112 years old.
She's 112 and she's here for revenge.
And then it becomes, and she's got a gun in her hand. Do you know, like, the end of Call of Duty, where you're lying down and you've got a wobbly aimed handgun at the guy as he walks away? That's it from her wheelchair. It's just this. And it's just because she just can't keep steady. And you're just like, you've got one bullet.
Okay.
From her great granddad's service pistol, which you found in the 1940s.
Yeah.
This is beginning to get quite absurd, but could still work. But what I'm worried about is that we're getting quite focused on the story, which is brilliant. But also, I feel like, Tom, you were kind of like more into slight, maybe I'm wrong, but like, I feel like you might need a bit more meat of a gameplay here, right?
I mean, this is a wonderful film.
Yeah.
I love this.
But not a game.
I just can't figure out the gameplay, unless it is just a...
I think it's Telltale.
It's Telltale.
Telltale's just a bit dumb.
Minigames.
We can do better than that, surely. Telltale.
It's like maybe it's a bit more like Obra Dinn, but instead of it just being a freeze frame, it's just completely crazy games like we've talked about. And one of them can be a management sim, so Tom's happy. One of them can be a first-person shooter for...
Okay.
I don't know, one of the other guys.
Yeah, like the murder mystery is like a little Ace Attorney case. There's one with a security guard who's like spooked at night, and it's kind of like a horror, you know, it's like an outlasty type thing. You know, he's trying to, he thinks someone's broken into the building, he's got to catch them, and it's kind of, you know, horror trope. It's flashlights, it's batteries running down, it's all that, all
it's
that
the ghost
good stuff.
Of the family that died in the Blitz.
Jesus Christ.
You could have a period where it just is more like a visual novel, sort of social sim or a romance game where it's like office, you know, office romance or whatever.
I do agree with Alex that it should all be like a first person, like all the time. Like you shouldn't come out and be in a different kind of game
right,
style.
You think that's too much of a leap for people?
I feel like it's too weird. Like we're not used to that as people who play games.
That's why it busts out. Everyone's like, wow.
Oh, but I think there's a reason.
That's part of the appeal. It's like, you never know what you're going to get next. It's like, whoa.
But if you went to see a movie and every 10 minutes the genre dramatically changed...
I'd be like, that is a bold structural experiment and I respect it.
And then when the credits roll,
I mean,
you'll sit
terrible,
back and say,
but it's bold.
Wow.
It could be brilliant.
It could be
the Cloud Atlas of video games.
Oh, highly, wow. Highly rated.
Great.
Right?
Yeah, and Cloud Atlas was an amazing cocktail of genres.
It was something. Brilliant film, too.
Hey, I liked it.
Okay.
But I want you to have a similar vibe at the end of this game that you have at the end of Cloud Atlas, where you're like, wow, I've really seen something. That was really something.
Yeah.
Is that one of the mini games? We go so far that we end up Cloud Atlasing it. Like, yeah. What's the Cloud Atlas genre that we can put in at the end just to sort of really cement it in?
Someone in a cave just saying, "Tell me the true."
So it's like L.A. Noir. He has a really detailed face, and he's like. And you just, I realised I'm on a podcast and I did a face.
You have to say if it's a lie, a doubt, or a true.
This is the kidnapper trope again. You've got the last minute, like,
that's what happened.
Yeah. That's my dad or not? That's part of the castle universe.
Right, there's always a choice.
I will say, Before we even talk, I had a very vague. I mean, this is quite different to what it now is. But you know, I thought the sort of twist at the end would be that it was like the whole house, the whole history of the house had been studied by some kind of in the far future, some sort of alien intelligence that was basically using it as like a. Basically a sort of test for like all humanity to sort of rate them, you know.
Oh, right, like okay. A cocktail of human experiences.
Yeah, as like a show, you know, is this, you know, it's almost like humanity on trial and this is the, you know, this
They've
house.
Got some human DNA and they're like, we're gonna reconstruct the human
they're Assassin's
race.
Creeding it.
Yeah.
They're doing an Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I guess it's quite similar to Assassin's Creed.
that's fine. It works, apparently. You can make a whole franchise
again,
out of
it. It's a narrative through line rather than like anything interesting kind of mechanically, I'll admit.
Right, okay. So what's the twist? It's aliens.
Well, the twist is that everything you were doing, you were being like rated and, you know, may they either find you like, you know, you were either good throughout history or you were bad or maybe a mixture.
Wow. And so at the end of the game, it could be like you. This is awful. Humans suck. Blow it all to hell. And then Earth just blows up and that's the end of the game.
Or you get an S rank and then you'd be like,
yeah, and
well done.
And then it plays like rad music.
Okay. Right. So, okay. That as a descriptive design choice, just rad music.
So what kind of mechanics are you seeing in here? I know this has changed probably a little bit from your initial idea.
I'll admit, I'll put my hand up and say that I didn't really, it wasn't much more than like, I had a faint idea for a futuristic cover shooter, the survival horror thing with the security guard that I've already mentioned,
okay.
And an Ace Attorney, crime sort of Poirot murder mystery.
Only the best for this podcast.
All right, look, Tom, can you give us do you feel confident to give us a rundown of where we currently are with this? What is this? What is it?
House always wins, or what is this called? Building Will Remember This is a narrative storytelling game that takes you through time, the construction of the building all the way through to the alien trial at the end when they are examining a cocktail of human life to deem the human race worthy or unworthy. In the 1900s, it's a first-person digger. Build yourself a house. In the 1920s, it's a murder mystery. Who killed old man Heatherton to steal his diamond? We'll find out. In the 40s, it's a blitz. Maybe it's stealth. Maybe it's a first-person shooter. We don't know. In the 80s, someone's playing a Game Boy. I think that's it.
That sounds so undercooked when you say it out loud.
I feel like by the ending, the whole trial should take place and then they decide, the decision is made that actually it shouldn't be saved. The building gets knocked down. And then maybe the final
rad music.
You see rad music. You see the woman
because you smash it up.
The daughter of the father
becomes
Teardown. Or no, you see the daughter of the father go to Ground Zero or something and retrieve an item or put an item down. You know, like
we can call it Ground Zero.
Okay, not Ground Zero.
No, that's great because they're there. an old man with his daughter, and they're there, and there's all this rubble, and he goes, go in there and get my diamond.
Yeah, this is the diamond stand.
I mean, I was thinking more of the end of Titanic, where she throws the jewel of the ocean into the ocean.
Someone sending a child to retrieve the diamond from a very dangerous construction site.
Wow. Oh, so it turns out it was him.
Okay, but the idea a highly cinematic narrative game about the history of a building, I really like that. Like, I've been really into like these kind of games, recently, like Edith Finch, Eyes Open or whatever. It's called the game where you can only, have you heard about this? Eyes Open, where you basically, it's someone telling you about the history of your life, and you relive your life, and every time you blink, this literally recorded, it's watching your face through via the webcam, and every time you blink, you skip forward in time. Mm-hmm. And it's a similar thing. You're just getting these little vignettes, these little stories where you play slightly differently. It's all first person, but there are slightly different mechanics to each one. But essentially, the core of it is you're telling a story. But something about the history of a house, I think, is pretty cool.
The main character is the building.
Yeah, the building. And the building will remember.
Wow, the what diamond. A personality that building has.
Oh, no, Matt disagrees.
What? Wait, the main character is not the building? Well, what do you mean?
Wait, who's the old woman with the wobbly gun arm?
She's straight up DLC.
Okay. All right.
Oh.
Chris, what do you think of it? Are you interested in this? Would you play this?
I mean, I've played the Telltale games.
Worse.
I've played those kind of narrative driven games. They're nice if they have like a solid mechanic going through them. This has a lot of mechanics in it, so I'm not sure you'll ever get comfortable enough. Depending on how long those chunks are, that you would.
But either
in.
Has a lot or none.
Exactly. It's very much an all or nothing in this. Yeah. And we've got of the all side of things. But I feel like if you, the way it links throughout, if you could maybe, I was trying to think of a way of like seeing it all at the end. Do you know how you can like, with certain games, you rewind through and see what you've done and get like a play-by-play? But it doesn't really work with this. I was trying to think the whole time of something that could.
The big ends of the big time lapse of the building.
Mm. Yeah, but that would only really make sense if you changed it every time so you could see how you've developed it, but it doesn't. It stays the same, but it changes with the times. So I don't think that really works as a thing. I was trying to figure out, but I couldn't. So, yeah.
Okay, so like you like the idea, but needs more mechanics, right? Or needs some decision on the mechanics.
I don't think it needs more mechanics. Okay.
needs better definition of the mechanics, perhaps.
Yeah, I also still don't understand the goal.
Well, it's not. It doesn't have to be like an end of the goal.
Okay,
to be moved.
To be moved. Right. Yeah. At the end of the game, just
once you're moved,
it
ends.
I am blessed to have experienced this.
It has a microphone, and if you ever say at any point, oh, "That was really nice," it just ends.
That's it.
If it hears you sniffle,
you can detect a tear rolling down your face with Kinect.
James,
is that a tear?
Well, I feel like you're a bit closer to me in terms of the kinds of games we play. Like, I'm lapping this up.
Yeah, you recommended Edith Finch, and I love that game. And, you know, that being a big house that you explore, I can see that transitioning exactly over to this game. You could actually have less mechanics in this game and I think still have an amazing game. Mm. I'm getting visions of, like, Obra Dinn, where you go around and explore, or even Outer Wilds, that same kind of, you can tell a story through going and finding pieces of, you know, this civilization left throughout time. Same thing here. So great. I love it. I want to play this game. I've been a bit confused this whole time, not going to lie.
But you're there now.
I feel like there's something here.
It is not as clean as a man with a gun on his hand.
That's life isn't,
that's,
right?
That's just pure mechanic.
That's all we can take away from this.
This is just story.
That's what the judge could say at the end of the trial, because he's like, listen, he said, I've seen a man with a gun for his hand. I've tried to unpick the history of this house. What have I learnt? Life comes at you in many different ways. That's life. And achievement unlocks.
Achievement unlocks because that's when the tear rolls down my cheek.
crying.
Yeah, Kinect picks it up. Game ends.
Cue the rad music.
And the aliens blowing up planet Earth.
Tom, are you in? Are you in on this?
I mean, I like it as an idea if it was just maybe walking through a derelict house in the future, trying to pick up on all the clues. You find, I don't know, like that height marker by the door. You find a blood splatter next to a brick underneath some wallpaper. And you're like, oh, I want to, what happened here? And then it takes you back to the 1920s when old man Willikers gets hit with a brick. As you go through all of the rooms, all of the story starts to make sense. All of the lives of all these people in all the different times starts to happen. And there's one room where you find some batteries. You're like, wow, where were these batteries before? They were in a Game Boy. And you just watch some kid play a Game Boy for 3 hours in the 80s.
Like, it could have been in the torch.
It's in the multiple torch.
Multiple possibilities for where those batteries were.
So the framing device could be that. It could be the courtroom. But essentially, like, it's like, I think it could be a really touching experience. I mean, that's where I am with it. I don't know. Look, if you're listening to this and you think you could make it any better, I'd be quite interested to hear what other people have to say about this, because I feel like this just needs lots of story ideas, right? And you could go anywhere with it, because he's just got a building, right?
Ultimately, it needs to end with wow.
It needs to end with wow.
Bad music.
Wow. If you think you can wow us, Tom, how can they tell us that?
If you want to send your desperate wow to us, then send it to @pitchpleasepod, pitchplease without the vowels, pod with a vowel for some reason on Twitter.
Oh my
Let us know.
That's confusing.
Yeah, it's confusing as hell. Thanks, Alex.
I'm not explaining myself again for this. I've done it many times.
Send us what you thought of the episode there, or in the comments on YouTube, or just as a review on, I don't know, fucking iTunes, I guess. Where do people listen to podcasts now?
Yeah,
wherever
iTunes.
You think that it should be reviewed, please review us there.
Stitcher.
That would be great. Stitcher. Also, if you kind of have an idea for a game of your own you want to pitch, feel free to just send it over. Who knows if we'll ever do more of those. Maybe we'll have an episode where we just look through a bunch of them.
Or maybe we won't.
We'll see. I guess you'll just have to listen next time and find out if we do. Well, it won't be next week, because that's going to be something else. But thank you, Matt, for joining us again. It's always a pleasure to have your absurd ideas along for the ride.
I loved this one. I loved it.
It was wild, and I'm
is
moved.
Is it? It's not me. It's the gun. No.
What is?
It definitely isn't that. But it's the sequel.
Is it? I love you, the kidnapper. Different.
No. It's
difficult third album.
It is a very difficult third album.
It's
but
the building knows what you did and can't stop it.
If any game can make you love listed buildings,
it's this one.
That's the
it's
ultimate goal here. All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Wow. Cue the rad music.
Wow. What a game. I'm moved.